Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The more I work in this section of the book of Isaiah, the more fascinating I find it. Not just this morning's little piece, the reading, but the entire section that surrounds it, chapters 40 through 48. In it, I think that God is challenging every would-be God, every pretender to his exclusive deity. Yahweh is God, and there is no other. And because this is true, Yahweh is God, and there is no other. The challenge is actually not merely against any other real God or gods, but rather against every human construct of a God. In his lectures on law and gospel, Walther described two kinds of sermon hearers: those who are comfortable, complacent, who reckon that they've got God right where they want him, and those who are uncomfortable, anxious, who worry that their sin and guilt might have so alienated God as to make reconciliation doubtful at best and at worst impossible. I think those categories are apt to describe Isaiah's hearers. First, Isaiah, and that's first, comma, Isaiah, not first Isaiah, speaks to warn complacent Judah that unless they repent, their fate will be like that of the northern kingdom, Samaria. Secondly, Isaiah speaks to reassure concerned Judah that Yahweh's devotion to his people is unwavering. God, the only God, is fully committed to the deliverance of those who fear and trust in him. Today's reading opens with words that sound like both a challenge and an invitation: declare and draw near. At this point, there is no indication to identify those who are being addressed. But in the preceding verse, verse 20, there is a similar challenge and invitation. Gather yourselves and come and draw near together, you fugitives of the nations, perhaps refugees. And yet, as soon as that first challenge and invitation are issued, it is as if the speaker has turned to another group to speak almost offhandedly. They don't know, those who are carrying their wooden idols, who pray to a God who cannot save. Then comes the second challenge and invitation, the one we are reading, followed by still another, what appears to be an aside. Indeed, let them take counsel together. It is as if Yahweh is speaking to a group of insiders, even as he addresses more openly the outsiders, the fugitives of the nations. And I propose that the aside continues with what comes next, this series of questions to people who should know. Who has caused this to be heard all along? Who declared it before now? Wasn't it I, or isn't it I, Yahweh? Is there any other God besides me, a righteous and saving God? There is none besides me. Even while God, through the prophet, challenges one group of hearers, he aims to reassure another. The most curious question I've had about this text is, what is the antecedent, the referent of this and it? There are no particular events or activities that match up readily with the Hebrew feminine forms of these two pronominals. So what it sounds like to me is that the question Yahweh poses through the prophet is whether anyone, including any would-be God, and especially any wood idol, could declare anything from the beginning until now, except Yahweh alone. And since declaring presupposes knowledge, the question is whether anyone, including and especially any would-be God, could know anything from the beginning until now. And the answer is no. Whatever has happened and whatever will happen, God alone can declare because God alone has known it. Whether something affects many people, like tsunamis and hurricanes and wars, or only one or a few at a time, like cancer or crime, God knows. And of these things, there will be even more. Wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines. There will be more hurricanes and tsunamis, more terrorist attacks, more airline and automobile accidents, more cancer and heart disease, and God knows them all. But he does not commend himself to us simply for his omniscience. Because he knows, he makes himself present, available. What began as a challenge, an invitation to confrontation, turns to an invitation to reconciliation and to reassurance. It is the righteous and saving God who invites, "Turn to me, face me, and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no other." As in the wilderness, the God who sent fiery snakes to kill his people also gave the word which promised that those who looked on the bronze serpent and believed the promise would live. So the God who still sends disaster in the wilderness of this world also gives the word which promises righteousness and life for all who hear that word and believe its promise. The commitment of God, the only God, is total. By myself I have sworn, the word that goes out from my mouth is righteousness, and it will not return until every knee bows to me and every tongue swears. His aim is not mere subjection. It is rather reconciliation, recapturing the allegiance of human hearts, the oath of every tongue. Its confession will be, indeed, in Yahweh are righteousness and strength. Not just power or might, but firmness, fixity, endurance. Yahweh, God, is the bulwark never failing, the levee that will not give way in the face of any of life's floods. There is a judgment before him, Yahweh. All will come. And all who are angry against him will be put to shame. We all have been angry against God. St. Paul described us as alienated from him and hostile in mind toward him. In his letter to the Romans, he called us enemies. But the righteous word went out from the mouth of Yahweh. This word became flesh. The Son of God went out from the Father to fulfill all righteousness, to perform it, to establish it. Jesus alone is the image, the sign from the only God, the one who invites, "Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth." While we were still enemies, while we were still alienated and hostile, the Son, the Word, the Christ died for us in order to reconcile us to God, in order to present us to his Father, holy and blameless and beyond reproach. And so, in Yahweh, in Christ, all the offspring of Israel will be righteous and will boast. Cast every idol from its throne. For God, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he is God, and he alone. To God all praise and glory. Amen.